Carolyn Evers, the host of The Message and The Messenger. We're on every Sunday at this time and also every other Saturday. And if this is the first time that you've listened to the show, I'd like to tell you welcome. And hopefully you find some real inspiration for the soul and stay with us at future dates. Today, we have some information from the Akashic Records. I read from the Universal Akashic Records, which is located in the center of the cosmos. A part of my mind goes there, and we have a question, something that we want to search. The cherubim there hold the records in their care, and they will find the record that I'm looking for, and then we give this information to individuals who are looking for certain answers to their questions. And if you're a new listener, and perhaps if you're one who has listened to us previously, something of interest would be the stories about the cherubim. I find them very fascinating myself, because what we have found through the records and also through the conference calls that we do with the masters, that there was a large number of cherubim who came from source and eventually moved down into form, in human form, on the earth presently. And one of the reasons why it's so important to know about this is because the cherubim, as well as the light workers and the messengers of the Elohim, will be having a period of time soon where they have a choice as to where they're going to go. The messengers of the Elohim came from other planets and in this particular solar system. They can go back if they choose. Light workers can go on with Archangel Michael if they choose, because he's building a new golden galaxy. And in that golden galaxy, the plans there are the ones that originally were here for Earth. What the Creator Gods decided to do here on Earth was changed. And a lot of that information is in a book that Archangel Michael gave us. It's called Earth History, Past, Present, and Future, and there's some fascinating information in that. And that book is available at my website, www.carolynevers.com. And so the cherubim have, you might say, two separate activities that they work with. One is they are taking the energy from source, what I call source, they call all there is, or God in the central sun. And this energy is a vibration, and it is God's love, actually. That is what really vibration is, the energetic vibration of love. And they move that around the entire cosmos and bring it back to source again, where source is able to read the history of what is happening. The cosmos is extremely large. And then there's another group of cherubim who work with the records that we read from. And there's a lot of work, specialized activity, that they make certain that the individual's records go with their particular database. And our vibrations, they tell us that our vibrations are as individual as a fingerprint. And that is what I carry. The individual's question has their vibration, and this is how they know which record belongs to them. And giving a little history of that, and those who might not feel that they're a cherubim but have wondered about the light and the dark and the falling angels, the cherubim, as we read these records, have given us some information about that. As the group of cherubim were moving the vibration throughout the cosmos, they came across creator gods who were working with bringing forth a new galaxy. And they were so intrigued with this. They were curious. And they tried to participate in this remarkable creative process. Actually, that really wasn't their job, but they became curious. And so, in a sense, you might say they changed their mission, which is something that we have been told that we can do also. We might start out on a particular mission, but if we wish to change it, we have that opportunity. So these cherubim were curious, and they started to tinker with parts of creation that they didn't understand. It wasn't their job, wasn't their duty. And so it caused changes in the vibrational pitch and tone of creation. It caused discordance in the sense that there were ripples sent forth that interfered with the connections of the patterns or the blueprint for creation. And so when they talk about fallen angels, the dark, this is where the process started, according to the cherubim. So it was the angelic messengers who changed their soul contract, who wished to be part of the creative process instead of moving the energy, and it became very disastrous to creation itself. And so that was the beginning of the dark forces, and it started out as something very subtle. And that perhaps is how change occurs in our life. It is something very subtle. So in the beginning, we don't realize the change that is occurring. And so the angels who are here, who are cherubim, who are in human form, this is where their history started, you might say, because they took on the mission that they would heal the rift between Source and these angels. And this was the beginning of the clash between the light and the dark. And so those of you who hear my word, one of the things happens that I find is that if you are a cherubim, there is an emotional connection to these words. You start to understand part of your history. You don't remember, but there is a part of you that responds to this emotionally. And if you feel a response to any of these events, it is a possibility that you are a cherubim in human form. And it is time to understand this because the ending of this cycle is coming. So one of the things that Source decreed is that none of their creation could be destroyed. It is one of the reasons why the dark is not destroyed, is because originally they were created by Source. And so they hold a part of the Godhead themselves. It is the same with us, whether you're cherubim or a light worker or a messenger for the Elohim. Your soul holds particles of Source, and it cannot be destroyed. It is a law that is part of a cosmic law that will be held then and for all eternity. Now, I'm giving information that came from a reading of a cherubim who was asking questions about themselves, and I decided to talk about some of these things because one of the questions was, this individual wanted to know the form of the cherubim. And when I received this answer, I thought it was so fascinating that whether you're a cherubim or not, you would be interested in hearing about this. And so what is in the record is that before the cherubim left source. And it was a very difficult choice to make because there was a happiness there, a contentment, a love that filled the heart so that it was very difficult to leave. But these cherubim loved God so much that they would give up their home for a while, not knowing when they would be able to come back, and try to right this, you might say, problem or this change that had occurred in the template, in the tree of life, in the story of creation itself. And they were brave. They left their complete happiness to repair this problem. Now, getting back to the form, this is what the cherubim have to say about that. That their form, then, is similar to our form in the sense that we're talking about the soul, the spiritual form, that they are spiritual. And so they say that, yes, it appears as light, but they explain how they operate and how the changes occur in the light. And I thought this was so fascinating. So they have a part that is a thinking part, and they have a part that is an emotional part. And when they choose to move or locate to one part, place, or another, that, just like us, they have the intention to do so. They desire to do this. And so that a part of their being first moves to the desire where they wish to locate. And they call that a smoky part. In other words, they haven't moved yet. It is this desire, and it would appear as smoke. So it's a mental process. It is the mental process of their thoughts and their desires. They haven't moved yet. They're just thinking of going there. And there is what appears to be smoke. So the smoke seems to move from their spiritual soul to this place where they're trying to move to. And then, after that happens, then the rest of their light body moves there. And when it does, then the whole thing lights up and appears to be light. So they have a light body that has a top and a bottom. The reasoning center is in the top, just like our body has a brain. Now, in the beginning, and I find this very fascinating, that the only emotion that Source or God had was love. And so when the angels were created, this was the only emotion that they had, was love. But as the cherubim started working with energies and started collecting the records of the different souls, they were following the soul's path, was following the history of these different souls. And so they started to understand what we were all about as souls who moved into physical bodies, or souls that were moving and learning throughout the cosmos. Maybe didn't take on a physical body, but they experienced. And so as the cherubims were compiling these records and starting to understand the journey of souls, they started to develop compassion. They could see what these souls experienced, and they could see the highs, their lows, their struggles, their gifts, their joys. And with that, the cherubim started to develop compassion. And so over time, they start to develop other emotions. And I find this very fascinating in the sense that Source, before any of the creation came about, there was love. Love was the only emotion. And so as the souls move out and explore and develop these other emotions, the angels and Source and all of heaven starts to understand what we are moving through, and they start to understand different emotions other than love. And so with that comes the compassion. Now, I find this fascinating too, because we believe that we have a light body. We believe that our soul is light. And so the cherubim who really never had a physical body, who this is the only body that they have, the ones that are in the center of the cosmos, talk about how light is the language of God. And so this is how they see themselves. They see themselves as God's musical language. And so there's some melody about their form. I thought this was so beautiful that in their form, in their spiritual body, they can feel the melody. And it says that they always seem to be singing. Their form, their spirit body, always seems to be singing because they can see that their soul is God's light, God's musical language. And the singing comes from within, as it is vibrational, and it always praises and loves God, which they call all there is. And I just found that to be so beautiful, that they see their soul as this constant song of love and praise and the joy that is in that. Now, they also talk about that between they and God, there is a constant interchange. There is this connection. There is this passing back and forth. These what seems like great messages of love. And they talk about these blasts of love that come from source and fills their entire spirit body, that it brings them to their knees, or what might seem like knees, as we are surrounded by this love. And we continually feel the great darts of ecstasy. And they're saying that this is the best way that they can explain this, that the love that they get from source feels like ecstasy, and it's continuous. That to us here on Earth, it would seem like the sexual energy that humans express, except it is much greater as it envelops their entire form, their thoughts and intentions. And they feel great peace along with the love. And they said, we do not wish to leave source as our maker for any reason. And they tell us, the cherubim who did go, who are trying to bring the dark back to the light, they tell them, thank you for taking this responsibility of bringing back our comrades, because it allows us to stay here and continue to enjoy this great peace and love in our lives. We feel great gratitude to you for what you sacrificed and what you continue to carry as burdens. We see this as taking on the responsibility of peacemaker, one who brings God's justice to all parts of the cosmos, as this you have indeed done in your past, and now you do it in your present. That you are the justice of the cosmos, working to bring peace and gratitude to all souls, giving them the understanding of what they should be grateful for as they struggle to understand their relationship with their maker. So, my dear friends, if any of you listening to this, these words, that you feel this emotional connection to the words, you could very well be a cherubim. And if you are, give us a call at 877-876-5227, and you can ask that question. Some of you have already done this. And knowing that you where you came from, knowing your path, knowing what path you follow, has been very liberating. So let me know if you feel any emotional connection to this, as I said, you might be one of the cherubim. Now, those of you who have listened to this in the past, you know about Marduk, that the dark tried to control Marduk. They tried to control the creation and that part of the cosmos, and it was eventually destroyed, and it is what we see as the asteroid belt. And so the cherubim gathered there. They tried to make a change in that planet. This incorrect weaving of the vibrational pattern might have caused an implosion there, because the dark was trying to control that planet, was trying to control creation for this particular part of the cosmos, which we understand as this solar system. So there was this big struggle between the cherubim and the dark, and the cherubim were here to rescue what could have been a very disastrous moment in cosmic time, because if there was an implosion, creation would have started to fall in upon itself, and no one knew just how far back this might have gone. It might have gone all the way back to the Creator. And the cherubim worked here. It was very difficult. And even though the planet was destroyed, it was an explosion and not an implosion. And we have a caller. And your name, please.
Hi, Carolyn. This is Jean.
This is who?
Jean.
Hi, June.
How are
you? So, June, when you're hearing this, darling, I know that this had to have a very deep resonance in your soul, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
I liked the part about how they were describing their spiritual body. Did you have a sense of any of what they were talking about?
Oh, yes.
Could you imagine it?
Yes, I think I was either a cherub or an angel at one time.
Mm-hmm. Well, according to the records, the cherubim were actually created before the angels. And the story, how they describe that, is just so very beautiful. They say that Source always existed, but did not always exist in vibration. And so they only have... can read the records that is in vibration, and that's where the records start, when vibration starts. And the first ring is the seraphim, and the seraphim reflect back part of Source's love. They're inclined to think, they don't understand the seraphim completely, they seem to think the seraphim is actually part of Source, or actually part of the Creator. And so all of the emotion of love is not depleted as it goes forth in vibration. Some of that is reflected back to Source. And so they seem to think that the seraphim are actually part of Source, and their job is to reflect back the vibration. And then the second group that was created were the cherubim, because that was the next part of this great plan of Source or God's, that vibration... The movement of vibration, and vibration that played the role in creation, was, you know, without vibration, nothing could be created. And so that was the next step of the plan, and it was the cherubim who were the ones who were working with that. So that was the second group. So, June, did you have a question, dear?
I wondered, why do I feel so detached from everything on this planet?
I'm not laughing at you, darling. I will certainly ask and get a response from the records, but you see, there's a part of you, even though you don't have memory, conscious memory of this, there is a part of your soul that does remember. In other words, that part that we call the ego, that part that you carry as June, that part you don't remember. But that part that is guiding you, that part that is above the higher mind, remembers. And they know, really, that this is not your home. This is not my home. Our real home is with Source. And so, yes, you're going to feel detached because there is that spark of memory. Imagine the love that comes from Source that bathes the cherubim every moment of their existence. What those sparks of love feel like. There's nothing here on earth that is like that. And so, yes, we would feel detached. We're moving around. We're doing the sort of things that we need to do in the positions that we call our life. But there is that sense of loss. So maybe you haven't gotten to that point where you feel that sense of loss. Have you felt that at times?
Yes, yes. I've never felt like I belonged to anything here on earth.
Well, of course, the cherubim will feel that way, and also the messengers of the Elohim. Were you ever listening to the show when we talked about the messengers of the Elohim?
No, I missed that one.
Well, at one of our conference calls, one of the ladies asked about the group that was on the conference call, and it was one where Yeshua was discussing this, and he explained how the different groups came together and created this part of the cosmos, and there were other planetary systems that held souls of great understanding, and so they sent their very best participants, so to speak, to be part of what was intended to be this most glorious plan. And they call this the messengers of the Elohim. So you might say, they're here on loan. They could be from Sirius, they could be from the Pleiades. They're here on loan in human form. And when this cycle is over, if they choose to go back to their planetary spheres, they can do that. But you see, there's a part of them that also feels like they don't belong because this is not their real home. They are here on loan. So, June, you want to know why you feel disconnected from Earth. Is that, do I have your question right?
Yes.
I really think you know the answer, but
yes, I do.
We're gonna go get it for you anyway.
Okay.
Now, when I read something from the records, I actually see the cherubim. That part of my mind is already there, and the cherubim show themselves in the female form. And it is because every component in existence is made up of what would be called plus and minuses, the negative, and that doesn't mean, it's sort of like the yin-yang symbol, you know, there's a plus and a minus, an electrical
yes.
charge. Well, the cherubim, their charge is from the feminine charge. So they really identify with the female, with the mother aspect. And when I see the cherubim standing there with your records, she shows herself to me as the female angel. And of course, she is projecting this in more human terms because she's really a light body. But when I view her, she will show herself to me as this most beautiful female angel. And I think they do this for my enjoyment, and I think they do it for yours also. It's a little more interesting than seeing somebody in their light body.
Yes.
And so she has your record, and again, she shows this to me in the form of a book, but the records are really not in the form of a book. They are like a backed up computer disk for a computer. So they're kind of flat, and all this information is like in a circle, and it is compacted. And so they take that record, and she pulls the end string, which unravels all of the records. And so when she does that, it looks like this book is opening. It's really quite fascinating. But before she turns it back to what looks like as the cover, she wants me to show you, or rather to tell you, what your cover is like. And the reason for that is everyone who was created under this incredibly beautiful master plan that God put together mentally first and then brought into form, each one of the different kinds of souls that were created have a different cover. And you can tell what that soul, how that soul was created by the cover on the book. And since you have a twofold question, really, one is whether you're a cherubim or not, and the other is why you felt disconnected, that is why she is showing me the cover, because when I describe the cover, this is the cover, June, that all cherubims have. The book is edged in gold, and it is like a golden filigree. And so the very edge of the book is like very solid, and then as the edge comes more in over the book cover, it is this beautiful filigree work, this what looks like cutout work. And the aquamarine of the cover shows through the filigree. It's very beautiful. And so the color of the cherubim on their books is this very beautiful aquamarine color. And if you see the stone that is an aquamarine stone, it is very similar to that color, but not the real light aquamarine stone, but the darker aquamarine stone.
Sounds beautiful.
Oh, it is. It is so beautiful. And then that is the cover of the cherubim. And then your cover has an additional aspect of it. And it is because of the mission that you took on, this very mission that we were talking about, how the cherubim have been here, how they are here to rescue their sisters, to send them back to the light, to heal the rift between Source and the other cherubim angels. And because you are one of those who have chosen to do this work, there is another emblem that is on your cover, and it is in the center. And when Source reviews records, because Source will ask for a record, and the cherubim bring it forth, and Source will look through there for different answers to their questions, and Source has reviewed your record, darling. Source held your record in their understanding and has followed you through your missions and understands those challenges that you have faced when you have met with the dark. As all of the cherubim have done this, and many times when they were in human form, they lost their lives in the struggles with the dark. And Source has reviewed these records. Source understands. And Source sends their love to you because of your faithfulness, because of your desire to make Source's, to heal this rift, to make it whole, to call back those lost cherubim who have become the dark, to show the way. And in the center of your book, there is this other design in gold. And it is somewhat like a cross, though it's not exactly a cross. There is a large It's hard to explain this. It's like a large point in the middle that is very ornate gold. And what makes it look like a cross is it is the brilliance of this, what is it, your core soul. There is a brilliance that comes forth from this. So that, you know, sometimes in art you see a star in the sky and it kind of looks like the brilliance, it seems to be coming out of the middle and it makes it almost look like a cross. You know, they do this sometimes with the Star of Bethlehem. This is the shape that this has taken on your book, except it is golden. It is golden like the golden edges around the cover of your book.
That's beautiful.
And it is there because Source placed it there. Source took your records, read your records, understands your compassion, understands your challenges, and that is Source's mark that Source placed on your cover.
That's so beautiful, Carolyn. Thank you.
Yes, it is, June. It is beautiful. And now, you know they're chuckling at that second question. You know that, don't you?
Yes, yes.
They're not making fun of you.
Well, tell them I'm ready to come home.
Yeah, but you know, they have such great wisdom, June. I've given you an answer, but let's see if they can shed some more light on why you feel perhaps disengaged, not exactly feeling at home here. And let's see their answer, because they have so much wisdom, and it's so their information is so full of love. So let's see what they say about that.
Okay.
Well, they're saying, love knows no bounds. There is no boundary to love. That love will move in any direction that a soul faces and embraces. But what is here on this planet, Earth, is so beautiful that there are so many beautiful places in nature, the mountains, the hills, the valleys, the rivers, water everywhere, human souls, flowers. There is so much beauty here. But your soul knows that this is not true love. That, yes, it is a reflection of the beauty that can be brought forth when the intent is to create with beauty, to follow God's laws, and to be in alignment with the blueprint that God created. But your soul knows this is not the center of that love. It is, your soul knows, it is an outpost. This is an outpost of what Source's love truly is. And it is but a reflection. And so for one such as you, who has been at the feet of Source, your soul understands that where you walk now is but a reflection, and the soul yearns to be home again. And that is why there is this sense at times of this disconnect. And that's all that they're saying, June, but I think you understand, darling.
I do. Yes,
yes,
I do.
Yes, because you really feel that in your heart.
Yes, I do.
And so, my darling, all that I can say to you is, tune in. The ending is not, we're almost at the end of the book, dear.
Yes, I'm waiting. I know I have things to finish.
Well, have you struggled with the dark that you remember?
I haven't in the past, but I haven't lately. things have been pretty pretty light lately. I just feel detached and feels like it's getting ready for time to go home.
Yes, you're in preparation. Do you remember any of your past lifetimes?
Oh yes, yes.
Do you remember those struggles that you had with the dark?
Yes. Yes, we do.
We got beat up pretty bad, didn't we?
Oh, I guess.
It was their time, but now it is our time. Our time is coming.
Yes.
June, I just love talking to you, dear.
And thanks, Carolyn. You have a great day, and God bless you.
Oh, you too, darling.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, my friends, we probably have about 15 minutes. I'm going to change topic, and if you have a question like June did, you better get in soon because the show's going to be over before you know it. 877-876-5227. I have spoken of Tom Kenyon in the past. I just love Tom Kenyon. I've been on some trips with Tom. He considers himself a sound healer, and he is. I'm not suggesting that he is not, but I think there's other things that he does that is equally renowned, and maybe even more so. I'm not sure, but he does work with the Hathors, and information that the Hathors bring to him is so remarkable, and I was intrigued with this message from the Hathors because it reflected so much messages that I've gotten from Julius Caesar. There is his book, Conversations with Caesar, which I think is a remarkable book. It is a story of what life was like for him after his assassination and his struggle to clear the path, because he had strayed from his mission, he had strayed from his path, and there was a great deal to resolve when he was on the other side. He was in the Bardo. But he gives a great deal of information about earth changes in his book. And then, of course, the one who also gives another portrait of what earth changes are in front of us is the soul that we knew of as Pope John Paul II. And in our conference calls, when Pope John Paul has some new information to give to us about earth changes, he usually comes and discusses those. And so that also is found at CarolynEvers.com. And that is called Viva Papa. There's actually two books of messages, and most of them have to do really with earth changes. And so the Hathors have also discussed with Tom Kenyon the earth changes and, you know, preparing for them. And, of course, he does have a website that has all the Hathor information about it, and that website has his name, TomKenyon.com. And what I wanted to discuss, and this comes from his most recent channeling of the Hathors, is they discuss the changes in weather. You know, when I first started talking about this several years ago, right after Pope John died, he came and gave me that book, Viva Papa. We did not see so many things in the world like changes in the weather, changes in politics, changes in economics, earth changes. You know, we weren't seeing that. And yet, right then, he was talking about all of these things, and so were the Hathors. And it's why I was drawn to this particular message, because it's reflecting what I am receiving. And the Hathors talk about hurricanes or cyclones, how they're increasing in number and intensity. You know, we know all this. They're not giving us anything that we don't know. But they are talking about keeping, remaining calm in the eye of a storm. And this is really what I wanted to talk about, because we know what's on, what has already transpired. We know what is on the horizon. We know that this is a time of great change. All we have to do is look at the paper and see the housing crisis, to see what's going on with some of the banks. We know about the weather and the storms. We probably have lived in the midst of it. And yet this voice is discussing remaining calm in the eye of such storms. And I think this is a point to really bring out and discuss today. And what the Hathor says, that if you see the edge of a storm in a circle at a far horizon, you know, you see these pictures of hurricanes and different storms. We see in the center, like all along the edge, we see all this turmoil. But in the center, all is still and calm. You know, the eye of the hurricane, they tell us how calm it is. And from their point of view, this is where we must work to find ourselves, in the center. And they call this the path of the initiate, the spiritual master. My golly, I loved that thought. In other words, we've got all this turmoil around us, and what they're pointing out is that the center of it is the path of the initiate, the spiritual master. And they're saying that nobody can teach us this, that no one can save us from the storms that are upon us, both the external storms of the weather, the politics or the economics, or the internal storms, our psychological and emotional conflicts. In other words, even if you're not touched by some of these things that are moving on the outside, we've got in the midst of us psychological conflicts, because we're living in the midst of a world that is dissolving into a new world, but yet it has not become here. The new world is not here, but the old world is dissolving. And so we have these conflicts on the outside. We've got these conflicts on the inside that it's causing anxiety. And so it is this very beautiful word from masters, that no one can really teach us this, but how we find our mastery is to find the center. And they're saying, you know, it's really easy. We have a caller, and your name, please.
My name is Heather.
I can't hear you, dear.
My name is Heather.
Oh, hi, Heather.
Hi. I just tuned in a moment ago, and I was planning to start listen to you at the beginning of the show, and I wasn't able to, and I just tuned in, and I'm just stunned, because speaking about the Hathors, my name is Heather, first of all, and it's not a family name. I never could figure out where it came from. It's very similar to the name Hathor.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, a psychic told me that my birthday is on a day that Hathor was celebrated.
How interesting.
So I'm very connected. And the thing that's really been on my heart for the past week very strongly is the fact that about earth changes. I am hunkering down.
Mm-hmm.
I live on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
We have the seeds, we grow our own food, we, you know, have goats for milk and meat. We do all these things. Some of my very dear spiritual friends are not doing any of this. And I've just been really, really confused about where we stand. I mean, what's going on here? So I was absolutely intrigued by when I just tuned in and started listening to you.
Well, Heather, you know, on one of our conference calls, one of the people there asked the very question that you're asking. They had the sense that they should be gathering food, gathering supplies, and so the question was, is this necessary? And what the answer was is to to search your feelings. If you are feeling this, you might almost say urgency or urging of one to accumulate such things like food, do it, because you will be one who will have the opportunity to share with others when the time is right. So in explanation to that, Heather, what the answer was basically is we're not all here to do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
That these people who are not preparing very well could be working on some issue that you're not going to be involved with.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's this beautiful plan. I see it as this beautiful mosaic. In other words, each individual belongs to a certain group by way of mission. These urges, you know, our soul is urging us to do these things. And so your soul is urging you to collect food, but it might not just be for yourself. And see, the beauty of this is you have a farm.
Right. I do feel that. I feel very strongly that, you know, we're in a very isolated area, which is probably safe from a lot of the hazards that are coming. I mean, no place is going to be without its problems, but and I feel that my job is to prepare, but there's a large family involved here, and they don't live close by, but I have a feeling that that's what my job is right now.
Okay, Heather, you collect the food, and let's see. I'm going to turn this over to the cherubim right now. See,
oh, good.
If they can give me, because I've got to do this quick. We've got like 3 minutes. As to what your soul commitment was. You see, you came in with a commitment made to your soul as to what your path is going to be. And this is probably one small part of it. Let's see what they say. I don't mean to be rushing you, but I'm trying to get the answer for
Great.
You.
Great. Thank you.
They are showing me some of your past lifetimes where you played the role of the goddess. In other words, you were caring for those, you were the nurturer. Those who were in your path, you considered them to be part of your life path was to take care of those and nurture those that you were involved with. And they're showing me where you have been in temples, where you worked with people with varied issues, so much so that it was the role of the feminine. And so it was the mother image of the feminine, of taking care of people, and that's why you have chosen to do this particular aspect of your path right now with food, because there'll be the time when you will be nurturing people.
Okay.
Does that help?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you, Heather, I've got to get off to make room for the next one, but I tell you what you do. If you want to know more about this, call in next week.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
I'll see you, dear.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So, my friends, I suggest we have a special, our Chaos Before Creation, the Cosmic Fire Dance, is advertised on the BBS website. I suggest that you really pick up a copy of that. As the bonus, you'll receive two free tickets, you might say, to our conference calls, but there's a lot in there about healing, and we'll talk about it the next time because we're right up at the end of the hour. So my peace and blessings to you all. Talk to you next week. Goodbye.